Mayor Andrew Nelson joins us this morning. Well, you just heard our conversation that we had with State Representative Rainey and State Senator Schwertner is a group of lawmakers who yesterday introduced legislation that would basically derail high-speed rail. You and I had the conversation a couple weeks ago. In your world, you've used high-speed rail, mostly in Europe. So are you staying, you basically end up being on a different side of the issue than your state senator?
No, actually not. I believe that the private sector, the way it was communicated to me is that this is a private sector job. I believe in freedom and free market. So if they want to do it by buying land, they have the right to do that. And if they want to put together, you know, a train and it's all done privately, great. I think the state of Texas is saying, please make sure that that's the case. I mean, that's what, at least what I heard. I haven't looked at every bill. Frankly, I haven't read any of the bills, but from what was reported, it appears as though they just want to not fall for the banana in the tailpipe trick, if you know what I mean, where they say, well, it won't be using state funds, but then the state's left holding the bag. And I support that concern. And as long as they can do it with private funds, you know, more power to them.
You're a business person, and also, as we've discussed before, because you deal in business in Europe, that high-speed rail is important over there. Is it too late for high-speed rail to happen in the United States? Is it just too costly per mile?
I'm not sure. I mean, if you look at how we built rail, you know, in the 19th century and early 20th century, it was done when there was so few people around that it was able to happen. But, you know, Europe is heavily dense. They don't have the same type of laws and property rights, in my opinion, that we have here. And I like the fact that we have more property rights here. So time will tell. But that's the market. I think we should allow them to see if they can succeed or fail. And if they fail, they tried. And if they succeeded, you know, certainly we need more transportation in this area. This is why I've pressed them to try to put that train right here. And, you know, we've got Easterwood Airport, Rellis. I believe Chancellor Sharp would be willing to work with them on that if they would do that. I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but certainly it's too far away for us to be able to use it and get to Houston and save any time, especially when we don't have a car. If we have to drive 30 to 40 minutes to the location, you need to get there 15 minutes ahead. You know, the 25 minutes that we'd save going to Houston on a high-speed rail, we've already kind of used more than that, and now we don't have a car. If we put it right here and continued it into the airport, it would be an incredible option. People would do that, and I gave them the idea of building a special cars where you can check into the airport from College Station. Basically, you get in and you're going to you're basically going to
secure
Houston
area within the airport.
That's right. You can get your luggage, you can do that, and once you come in the train, like many trains in Europe, high speed train in Paris takes you right into the airport. This could basically, you could be checking in and not only save the 25 minutes on the high speed on your car, but then you don't have to park. You don't have, you know, you're already basically going through security, and you save the hour that you would normally spend at the airport anyway. Now you're saving a couple hours. Now I bet you everybody in Bryan College Station could get around that.
Well, any transportation, it's a hub and spoke situation. We'd prefer to be the hub rather than have to ride a spoke to get to that hub.
Sure thing.
Let's Mary Lynn Strada, the city secretary, touched on this a little bit last week as we discussed water. Bryan is in a better situation than a whole lot of cities as far as water in the future and the wells that are out there. And you're going to have to find some more sources, but Bryan has taken an interesting step as far as what they do with water that you have the rights to. Kind of explain that to us.
Well, first of all, before we begin that, just know that Bryan, the wells where I think we're going to talk about aquifer storage and recovery, ASR, before we get into ASR, just know that Bryan already has the ability today to pump from the wells that are going to be used on the ASR, to pump those wells 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and put them in an above-ground storage capability. We want to be smarter about that. You see this out in western states in the U.S. and eastern states, this ASR. And the idea is to eliminate evaporation and to be more efficient and store that water more efficiently so that when you have peak usages or when you have periods of drought, you can access that water more efficiently. And that's what aquifer storage and recovery is. It's basically saying, instead of building a huge above ground tower or reservoir, let's find a container underground. Now those containers, every single aquifer is different. Some aquifers are like bathtubs. You pull from one end of the aquifer and the drain goes down on the other end, even if it's 10 miles away. You have others that are built of sand where the water moves, you know, 1 foot a year, and you could have it for thousands of years and not move. So you have to look at the aquifer. We're piloting a study right now in Bryan. Our aquifer, our plan is to pull water from our wells that today we already have the right to pump them 24 hours a day, to move them closer to our cooling towers, which is about 5-6 miles away. Our aquifer appears to be based of sand in a way that allows us to put it into brackish water. And without getting too technical, it creates a bubble of fresh water that doesn't move very much. And we're verifying that. That allows us, when during peak summer months, when we can't meet that demand from the existing piping, instead of having to create a massive piping project or create a massive above-ground reservoir or cooler, we can eliminate all the environmental waste of evaporation and save millions and millions of dollars on infrastructure by simply identifying a better location to put it that's closer to where we process the water. So it's a very smart thing to do. There's another one in San Antonio where they're actually moving it from one aquifer to a different aquifer. But there's each ASR project throughout the United States has its, you know, you have to look at the details of it, but it makes a ton of sense. We are required by the state of Texas to have a 50-year plan to show what we're doing with water, to show that we're keeping the water at a certain level. Our plan meets all that. In fact, it is one of the top plans that the state of Texas water authorities want in the state of Texas.
Now, where is it geographically? Where is this aquifer?
It's in the Simsboro unit of the Wilcox Group. That groundwater is pumped today from a well field. Bryan and College Station, Texas A&M all have their well fields pretty much in very similar area. And again, the wells that we're going to use are wells where we already have the right. That's been established. We have a 24-hour-a-day right to pump it. This is a question about how to best use it.
Do we share that aquifer with anyone else, or is that just the city of Bryan?
Yeah, that aquifer is shared by other people, too. Absolutely.
Now, who owns the land then? I mean, is there a charge for storing there? How does that work?
Well, there's the city of Bryan, College Station, A&M. They own land. There are other people who own land around it in Robertson County. In fact, the most of the people who are against ASR, as I understand it, are a couple landowners in Robertson County who would love for us to not have a more efficient plan for our taxpayers. If we don't do the ASR, I think the average bill is somewhere $60 to $80 a month in Bryan. You can take that $70 a month bill and triple it if we don't do that ASR. So I think our listeners need to understand if they want to pay an average here of $200 a month instead of the $70 a month they pay, just you know as a listener what you're paying. Take that number and triple it if we're not going to do this ASR, because we're going to have much more expensive infrastructure to cover that water cost in the future.
But likewise, Andrew Nelson, the mayor of Bryan, joining us. Likewise, there are people who live in Bryan, yet they have property that they are using in agriculture that they may feel like water is not being stolen, but maybe appropriated in ways that they're not able to use it for their business, to be able to use it to grow crops. Are cities taking water away from agrarian society?
Well, certainly there's water out there, and Texas has a complex way in which they allocate water through the management, the associations, the different state of Texas agencies. But ASR has nothing to do with that. ASR is simply about how do we store that water that we already have the right to. So if you want to have a conversation about who gets wells, how that happens, cities, the fact that we're adding 30 million people in Texas over the next 30 years, and what are we going to do with water, those are very important conversations. My responsibility as mayor is to assure that the people in Bryan, and frankly, this issue will help College Station, people in the county, and back to those farmers and ranchers, in peak months when the water is low, they're going to be able to pull from that same reservoir that we have for them. If we don't do this, then we're going to be limited to whatever the pressure we can get out of the existing pipe. So the whole idea here is that we're not trying to benefit a couple landowners. We're trying to benefit everyone, including thousands and thousands of ranchers and farmers who would also draw from that in times of drought. Let me tell you the evaporation waste and compare all of that to the evaporation waste. In the worst year of the drought in 2011 at Lake Travis, when the city of Austin had to pull massive water, and we all saw what happened there, They pulled 166,000 acre feet of water from Lake Travis in the worst year of the drought. In that same year, 220,000 acre feet evaporated because they're storing their water above ground instead of using an ASR. Does that make any sense?
So that's what you're trying to beat.
That's right. This should not be controversial, because instead of wasting 60% of the water you're pumping to just going into the sky, we're going to do this in an ASR. All that extra 60% is going to give farmers, ranchers, and people in the city not only less expensive water, but more plentiful water.
There you go. What else we got going on in the city of Bryan? That's one of the problems that that's what elected officials do, is look for vision and future and things that go on. But we've got other stuff that's happening right now that I know folks would like to know about going on
sure,
in the city.
Sure, you bet. We have a youth tour I want to tell people about. It's been brought to my attention that BTU has not received any applications for the youth tour in Washington, D.C. So I want to announce that we're accepting applications through Friday. That's February 24th, this coming Friday. Interested students can submit their essay and complete the application at btutilities.com. So this gives them a free trip to Washington. They're going to go to the Smithsonian Museum, Supreme Court, Washington and Lincoln Memorials, many things like that. It's an incredible trip. It's an amazing opportunity. There is a few other things going on if I have time. We have free tutoring for children in the K through 12 offered free of charge at Clara B. Mount's Public Library, 5 to 6:45 p.m. in both English and Spanish. You don't have to register, just show up. Volunteers are there to help the kids. Also, just as a little scary reminder for all of us, you and me included, the Great Texas Warrant Roundup begins Saturday, February 25th. On that day, police officers throughout the state, city marshals, other law enforcement personnel throughout Brazos County are going to begin arresting people with outstanding warrants. So this is a friendly reminder. If you've received a citation and, Brian, you haven't taken care of it, please go take care of that quickly. And you can find out more information about that at our briantx.gov municipal court area or by calling 209-5400.
All right. Thanks for the time this morning.